الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا. وأن أبي يوسف عبد الله بن سلام رضي الله عنه: سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: يا أيها الناس أفشوا السلام، أطعموا الطعام، صلوا الأرحام، صلوا والناس نيام، تدخلوا الجنة بسلام. Beloved brothers and elders, firstly I must say I'm intimidated. It's the first time I had to wear two microphones to speak at any venue. But inshallah we make dua that Allah grant us the strength and the courage to share with you this discussion for today. As we know that alhamdulillah, Allah has granted us as South Africans, as Muslims living in this part of the world, the good fortune of, for some of us, 3 days away from work, for some of us 4 days away from work. What does this represent? We know that today perhaps has been dubbed a public holiday called Good Friday, and Monday has been dubbed a public holiday called Family Day. So I've chosen for today's discussion the topic of what defines our sense of community as people living in 2012 here in South Africa. Now when we speak of a sense of community, many of us would love to believe that our sense of community is defined by the geographic location we work in, or the geographic location we study in, or the geographic location we stay in. But then, I would want to ask each and every one of us a very simple question. How much do we know with regards to the people who live in our immediate vicinity? That being the first. And a follow-on question would be, what is the Islamic definition that we learn culturally and historically with regards to what defines our sense of neighborhood? From those brothers in our masjid, alhamdulillah, who spend many hours in the masjid and many hours visiting us at our homes, reminding us about coming to the masjid and keeping the masjid alive and establishing salah, they would tell us that they have learned from their elders, who have learned from their elders, who have learned from the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who lived in that glorious golden age, that the sense of community or neighborhood in Islam is defined by 40 homes in every direction. So then let us ask another question. When was the last time we knocked on the doors of the 5 homes closest to us in any direction? And yes, this is not an examination where we're going to ask you to raise your hands or to tick the blocks or to cross the blocks, but it's something for us to introspect on a very deep level. Then, perhaps to advance another definition of a sense of community. If I had to ask all of us, young and old, who live in this area, and that's why we're here for Jum'ah, because most of us, subhanAllah, are at home and not at work today. So unlike other occasions of Jum'ah, when there are many people in our masjid who perhaps work in the area, most of us stay in the area. If I had to ask all of us, who were the five people that you greeted closest to coming for Jum'ah? Many of us would answer that other than walking towards the masjid and entering the masjid, five of those people who, some of the five people that we greeted closest to the time of Jum'ah were people who we greeted electronically. And I guess many of you would acknowledge that, that either we sent a Jum'ah Mubarak SMS or a BBM or a WhatsApp message. So this advances two different ideas of a sense of community. One is a community defined by a sense of geographic location, and the other is a community defined by a sense of our personal interests. And as we see with the progression of life, for some of us who have lived 20 some odd years, and others a bit more, and others a bit less, over a period of time, each and every one of us would be able to acknowledge that our sense of community has to some extent changed. It has changed from the people who live and work closest to us to people who form part of interest groups. Now, we are not saying that this is negative or positive in an absolute sense, but we are saying that it is important for us to be able to acknowledge this firstly, and then also to capitalize on it. Based on the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I recited, that I mentioned before you, wherein Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stands guarantee for people who will do and undertake certain practices. The first was afshus salam, that we make the concept of greeting Muslims and others, all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something that is widespread. Now just to look at one of the hikam, or one of the wisdoms behind this concept of greeting in Islam, let us put ourselves in a scenario where we are planning to travel. But unlike normally, where we travel with our companions or friends, as many of us will do this weekend inshallah, towards, all roads lead to Azadville this weekend, as many of us will do, let us take for instance the unique or rare opportunity when we have to travel alone. And let us put ourselves in a bit of a confined space, either the coach of a train, which may seem far-fetched for many of us. Let us take perhaps another example, having to travel by air. Look at the hikam and the wisdom behind this very simple teaching of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That if you had to be seated next to someone in the plane, and if you took it upon yourself based on the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to greet that person, whether it was good morning or good afternoon or good day or how you're doing, sir or madam or whatever it may be, subhanallah, you already create a sense of ease. All of us know that to some extent we are victims of Islamophobia and many other phobias, because we don't have the fairest of complexions, or because we subscribe to Islam, or because we are Muslim, or because they may think that we are Muslim for some of the other people who live in our community and society who have not yet entered into Islam. So there is a certain stigma attached to us. But Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's teachings, subhanAllah, are so deep in hikam and wisdom that by virtue of just greeting this person, already you have made a sense of comfort and ease that, hey, I can speak to the person next to me. That if you happen to be in the aisle seat, the person will be comfortable to say, excuse me, I would like to use the bathroom. Can you please stand up so I may walk past? Just one of the hikams and wisdoms learned from the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Coming back to this concept of a community defined based on our individual interests. All of us would agree that the people we are most in contact with are not the people who live in our immediate vicinity. They are the people who make up our contacts database, either the email contacts database or the WhatsApp contacts database or the BBM contacts database, or if we still haven't yet embraced smartphones, then the people we SMS and call regularly. Now, are we saying that this is a bad thing or a good thing? Let us understand very quickly the concept of media. Media is a forum. And yes, previously we may have said that the media is slanted against us as Muslims, because our only right to response would perhaps be to be able to write a letter to the editor of the local newspaper or the national newspaper, with a slight chance that it may be published. But the dynamics have changed greatly. Greatly to the extent that now what shapes media lies in the hand of the user. And each and every one of us are users of the media. The concept of social media, the change that we have seen come in most of the North African and Arab populations, predominantly being communities that are Muslim, has been by virtue of us as Muslims, people embracing the media and what it holds for us. So the media landscape, and what makes the headlines and what is regarded as cutting edge or newsworthy is shaped by us as users. Does this mean that we need to forward every message that we get that has some sort of Islamic connotation to it? No. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also grants us a framework by which we judge news or information. And this we learn in one of the beautiful surah of Quran, one of the beautiful surahs in the 26th juz, surah Hujurat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنْ جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِكُمْ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا أَنْ تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. Oh, you who believe, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, if any news or any information comes to you, then first verify. For it may be such, and I'm paraphrasing, not translating directly, it may be such that if you just forward this news or make it evident or known to more people, you may find yourself as someone who's causing distress and anguish to yourself and to others. فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. And by virtue of that, you may find yourself in a position of being remorseful later. So, by mentioning that there are positive connotations to media and social media, the handhelds that each and every one of us use, which to a great extent define our sense of community in the current age and context, we also need to know that there are certain rules and certain frameworks that govern this, that we learn directly from the most beautiful teachings of Quran and Sunnah. Does this mean that I don't forward any information from now on? No. It means that, subhanAllah, we establish a sense of community amongst the people who live in the physical location, geographic location closest to us, and we use those people who are most knowledgeable in that physical location to be able to verify the different news or information that comes to us before we become agents of spreading it. Now, why is the duty upon each and every one of us to spread that which is good, as opposed to saying it is just the responsibility of those who are learned or those who are in positions of leadership? Because as we mentioned, that the media and the landscape by which people's ideas and thoughts and direction and vision in their life is shaped by this media. So either we learn a very beautiful concept with regards to da'wah in Islam, and generally with regards to all aspects of our life. Either you are inviting to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by some means or the other, based on on your individual ability and capacity, or you are being invited to every sort of immorality and injustice and indecency and lewdness. So that's why, another reason why we have to take it upon ourselves to be able to make ourselves from those people who are inviting to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And has not Allah made it easier for us in this age and in this time than ever previously? Because now you don't need to consult the Oxford Dictionary to be able to write a letter to the editor of your local newspaper with some slim chance of it being published. But subhanAllah, you can forward to those people who understand your language, your discourse, your vocabulary, to encourage them towards a sense of goodness. Yes, brothers and sisters, brothers and elders, I am speaking about us embracing technologies like Facebook with the necessary framework in place, and Twitter, and other forms of social media. For indeed, in this lies great opportunity for us as Muslims. Another reason why, it is my humble opinion, that these are things and technologies we should embrace. In fact, I think I'm only wearing two microphones today, because the one is going to be used to upload this Jummah khutbah to the masjid website. Subhanallah, this is indeed a very positive aspect. Let us look at historical trends in the Muslim Ummah to confirm why we need to capitalize on this opportunity. Let us look at the time when the printing press first came into vogue. And because this was something that the Muslim Ummah at that time, in leadership in the Muslim Ummah, we're not saying that they did us a world of bad, but we are saying that we learn from the Sunan of history that we always need to be able to know our past so that we know where we are coming from, and to learn from the mistakes and the shortcomings of our past. It was the mindset and the idea of the ulama and the leadership of that time not to embrace printed the print media at the time. So that's why we prided ourselves, and rightfully so till this age, we prided ourselves on our capacity to memorize every aspect of our Islam. And that also gives us another beautiful aspect of Islam called Isnad or Sanad. That unlike any other ideology or worldview or religion, Islam is the only way of life that can pride itself that from its very inception up until now, 1433 years later, we have an unbroken chain that links us directly back to the source, which was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know that anything is purest and best closest to the source. The same with water. If we had to be out taking a hike and we found a stream of water, we would try and trace ourselves till the source to be able to get the purest form of water to be able to drink or bathe or whatever else it may be. And the same, because we have this unbroken chain that goes back to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we as Muslims will continuously encourage ourselves and each other towards maintaining a sense of preservation based on memory. But at the time when the print media came into vogue, it was now much easier to spread ideas, to spread concepts, to spread what some may term as information, others may term as an access point to knowledge. For we know that knowledge is only transferred Islamically by virtue of people being in physical contact, and it's transferred heart to heart. So the ulama at that time chose not to embrace print technology and the print media. And hence we as Muslims, who had been at the forefront of every realm of science and technology of the age, started falling behind. That today many a people have chosen to conceal and hide our contribution to modern day science. We have heard, and this may sound cliche, about the first cataract operation, about the first concept of keeping people, administering people who were ill, who had a similar illness in a particular group, the concept of having a ward in a hospital. These are all things that came from Islam. We don't know this, or we may have heard of this, but a lot of it is concealed because we chose not to embrace the medium and the media and the forum of the time. Today, as a society, we can choose to say that every form of handheld electronic technology is bad, it's evil, and it's taking us away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or we can establish for ourselves a framework and guidelines based on the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Quran al-Kareem, and use whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted the intellect of man. Allah has granted the intellect of man the ability to manufacture, the ability to design, the ability to bring into vogue, into the world. We can embrace this and use this as a means of once again re-establishing our place as a collective of people, the ummah of people, 1.5 billion people who will be at the helm of every forum, of every stream of science, of technology, of engineering, of geography, of discovery. We know, subhanAllah, that great strides are being made by many people in different parts of the Muslim world in this light. And we should make dua for them and support them. But more than that, can we just make dua for those people who are making great strides and sit back and say everything is okay? No. There's also a level of individual responsibility. As we learn from the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our place and our sense of community must and always will be defined by a geographic location, primarily. We will embrace whatever else the world has to offer, but our sense of community must and always will be based by a sense of geographic location. For while the rest of the world has the ability to live in a virtual world, where you can do everything virtually over the internet, unfortunately, or rather we should say fortunately, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us very beautifully that we cannot perform salah virtually. So we will always have as the center of our sense of community, our masajid. And this should be the place that we make alive and vibrant. The same way other people can claim that there are over 1.5 million subscribers to any particular form of social media or instant messaging, we should be able to, inshallah, rightfully claim that there are 1.5 billion subscribers to the adhan of Salatul Fajr every day. In closing, the rest of this very beautiful hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, keeping in mind that we mentioned we have for this juncture in our time, we have perhaps 4 days or 3 days to spend away from work. The first, we mentioned the importance of afshus salam, greeting. And yes, let us use that electronic media to continuously greet people, to pass on good things, and to encourage people towards a sense of goodness. The next mentioned in the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at'imut ta'am. And we know, because we as Muslims have this custom and this culture of feeding, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged us to share whatever meals and provisions we have with other people, because it also creates a sense of caring, a sense of affection, a sense of empathy, and a sense of hospitality. That there is, once again, unparalleled in the rest of the world. You would find no one who has the ability to host better than Muslims. The next is very important, silul arham, the concept of establishing, maintaining, and working tirelessly at this end to maintain family ties. Now, it's very easy to greet those relatives of yours who you don't have a problem with. But Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's encouragement is about establishing family ties to the ones you actually have a problem with. The ones you had some sort of fallout or shortcoming or misgiving or argument or altercation. These are the ones that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is encouraging us to establish a sense of family ties with. Now, why is it important to establish family ties in the concept of Islam? Because unlike other worldviews, isms, and you may be able to have some sort of acknowledgement of what I am saying based on thinking about your colleagues at work or at school or at university, that someone tells you, no, my small brother passed on, or my small mother passed on. And then you stand there and you scratch your head. How many mothers do you really have? Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by virtue of two things, as Allah has mentioned in Quran, وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ مِنَ الْمَاءِ بَشَرًا فَجَعَلَهُ نَصَبًا وَصِهْرًا, that Allah is the one who has created us from drops of fluid, from drops of water, and has granted us two types of relatives. The first is that with regards to lineage, our parents, our ascendants, our descendants, our children, our offsprings, and the second, those with regards to marriage. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered our sense of community, our sense of belonging, by virtue of giving us two types of family ties. And Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is encouraging us here to maintain a strong sense of family and family relations, particularly with those who we may have had some sort of problems with. We do not need to wait another 4.5 months till the end of Ramadan for the day of Eid to embrace someone. Use these 4 days to to pick up that phone, be brave, make that phone call, phone someone who you may have had some sort of difference of opinion with, and re-establish a sense of love and affection, compassion, empathy and sympathy for someone in your family. Then, subhanAllah, all of this would be in vain, other than if we embrace the true spirit of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and that very glorious group of people whose ideas, whose thoughts, whose psyches were shaped by him. The concept of sallu wan nasu niyam. It is very easy for any one of us to wear a beautiful white robe on the day of Jum'ah, to put on the best of itar or perfume, and to go out and, you know, greet all the Muslims we find, and everyone can say, MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah, Abdul Rahman is doing lots of good today. But no, we learn the concept from the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam of being knights in the day, that we go out and do great things, but being monks at night. That in the dead of the night, we turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Him to grant us sincerity in everything that we do, and also asking Him to be able to make our affairs that we do on a local level, individually, have an effect on a global level. The same as many of our brothers who will be gathering this weekend in Azadwal, have that same concern about how it is that we can work on an individual, local level, and inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the net effect and the outcomes of that evident on a global level. And by virtue of doing these four or five practices, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guarantee us through the words of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Tadkhulu al-jannata bi salam. That undoubtedly you will be those people who will enter Jannatul Firdaus with peace, with contentment, with tranquility. We know that there are two types of promises in Quran. There is the promise of Shaytan. Shaytan ya'idukum al-faqr. Shaytan promises you poverty. He promises you that you will be the most despicable on earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises you, Wallahu ya'idukum maghfirata wa fadla. Wallahu ya'idukum maghfirata wa rahma. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises you forgiveness and His mercy. And each and every one of us would once again be able to acknowledge from our lives, whether they have been for a shorter term or a slightly longer term, that the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always true. May inshallah each and every one of us be encouraged to work towards those practices which will bring upon us in our lives, individually, collectively, as families, as an ummah, as a society, as a masjid, as a community, the sense of inshallah being the recipients of the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakumullah khair.